At Steel Manning, what we do differently is by getting our guests who disagree with each other to prove that they actually understand each other's arguments before listing out their disagreements. After both arguments are presented in their best light, we will get our guests to list out their fundamental agreements, and then we will start a larger discussion. By a flip of a coin, we've decided that we'll start with Dr. Den Heyer, who believes that Frontex should be stronger, and he will start by Steel Manning Professor Spykerboer's argument, Frontex should be weaker. Dr. Den Heyer, would you mind beginning to explain the best argument for why Frontex should be weaker?
Sure. Thank you, Elmer. I think we can all agree that Frontex is in quite a mess right now. There are no less than three inquiries that have been launched in the recent months against Frontex, one by OLAF, which is the anti-corruption watchdog of the European Union, one by European Parliament, led by Dutch MEP Tineke Strik, and one by the European Ombudsman. And what are these inquiries about? I think there are multiple issues with Frontex, but two in particular. One is that it is in an organizational mess because it was tasked to recruit 10,000 border guards. So that is more than the entire Dutch corps of border guards in terms of number, for example. And that is not going well. And there's all sorts of evidence that money is misspent, that it is spent on lavish dinners, and that in the organization, not much focus is on human rights, but it's very much about security, firearms, and let's say the security dogma surrounding the border. It also seems that there is not too much transparency in the organization, and the director, who is a Frenchman, Fabrice Legri, has been called to Parliament a couple of times, but did not appear to talk the truth always. So there are serious concerns about the setup of Frontex and whether it can deal with the tasks as it has been granted. I think the second main issue is that increasingly evidence comes up that Frontex is involved in violations of migrants' rights at the border. Last year, there were two important judgments, one against Spain, but the one more relevant for Frontex is the one against Hungary, where the Court of Justice of the European Union found Hungary to have violated the range of EU law provisions relating to border control and asylum, and in a nutshell, police brutality of the Hungarians against migrants, and also summary expulsions of migrants over the border with Serbia. And then last March, a report came out drafted by the Frontex Management Board itself, and in the Management Board, there are the national officers. So the Management Board is, let's say, the member state control of the organization. And it investigated quite a few incidents that were reported to it by national officers working for Frontex in Greece, and those were primarily Danes and Swedish border and coast guards who were helping out the Greeks in trying to control the migrant situation in the Aegean. And it turned out that migrant was involved in some way, at least, in the so-called pushback practices. And if you read the report, I've read it very closely, there's clear evidence in the report that the Greek Coast Guard was involved in at least four incidents in pushing back, towing back, escorting back migrant vessels to the Turkish border, in clear violation, in my view, of relevant human rights law, as well as the Schengen Borders Code, which sets down the rules for how external borders in Europe should be conducted. So I fully agree that Frontex is in a mess. Now, the next question is whether we should abolish it.
Professor Spykerboer, do you agree with that rendition of your side?
I agree with it. It covers half of the point I have. It did not cover my questioning of the policy that Frontex implements. So this is about the manner of implementation. And there I completely recognize the way Martin summarizes my hesitations, like this. The mess is so big that this is not the moment to strengthen Frontex. But I've also questioned that Frontex implements a policy that I think is misconceived. So that's a more fundamental question that cannot be solved by improving the implementation.
Martin, would you like to clarify on that any more? Do you have anything more to say on Professor Spykerboer's side?
Two points. One is my key observation, especially I fully agree that the organizational setup is wrong, and that the management of the organization should perhaps go away. Unfortunately, European Parliament doesn't have that right. It only has the budget right. So things need to be fundamentally changed with Frontex. But in response to what Thomas Packerworth says, two things. First is that we see that the judgments about human rights violations and also the independent reports about what's going on, they show that the actual misconduct at the border is not conducted by Frontex officers. So they are not the Dutch, the Swedish, the Danish officers who help out the Hungarian ones and the Greek ones. Frontex is the master of intelligence coordination. It provides the information. So let's say Dutch or Swedish planes are flying over the Mediterranean, and they say to the Hellenic Coast Guard in their boats, there is a group of migrants there, you should go after it. And what the Hellenic Coast Guard then does is says, okay, thank you, and now please go away, we will deal with the matter. We saw the same pattern at Hungary, where Frontex was helping out the Hungarians, but the Hungarians were also trying to keep out Frontex out of sight so that they could do things they knew that Frontex would perhaps disapprove of. So the actual misconduct, it's not only not respecting procedural rights of migrants, it's also simply police brutality and detaining migrants in horrible conditions. That's not done by Frontex. And I think we need to be clear about this, that there is no clear evidence that Frontex officers itself have been involved in this misconduct. And then the question is it okay to put all this blame of Frontex, or should we not rather be talking about the misconduct of those national border guards? Because I think that there, the problems lie mainly there. So the debate today is not about the core of the problem. The core of the problem is that many member states face serious issues in how to deal with migrants. They see no other solutions than to violate their norms. And I do not think that doing away with Frontex in any way addresses that situation.
Thomas, could you maybe, is there anything you principally disagree with that?
So what I do want to raise is a more fundamental issue. So these are things you can fix if you really want to, and if everyone involved really wants to fix it. There's something more fundamental with Frontex, being that it implements the common European asylum system, which is based on the opposite of solidarity. It means that some states get the full burden, while if the system really works, countries in the European heartland don't get to see many irregular migrants, at least not those ones crossing the borders. It puts the burdens on this currently on the southern states, and if Ukraine explodes, then there will be a burden on the eastern states. So it's particular states that bear the brunt. And the idea of Frontex is to protect that system, the idea of the structure of Frontex, it's not something you can easily fix, is to protect that system by showing solidarity with these member states in keeping people out of their territory. So there are two structural problems with Frontex. One is that it reinforces, it implements a system that is patently unfair both to member states and to refugees, because of the failure of European harmonization of refugee law and practice. And it thinks it can fix that through basically militarizing borders. And I would think that is a mistake factually, because that's, unless you want to go to become North Korea, which I think is not a good idea for a whole range of reasons. This is not feasible. This is not how borders work in a normal world. It leads to the extent it works a bit, it leads to massive humanitarian problems at the borders, which is what we're seeing now. And also legally it's problematic because it doesn't accidentally implied pushbacks like we see at the Hungarian and Greek borders, but that's what it's about. That's what it means to do this. So I think the implementation is one discussion, and that's I think politicians will focus on that because that's feasible and it can be fixed. But there's a more structural issue about what is it? What policy does Frontex implement? And I'm not convinced that that's a policy that is that makes sense.
Thomas, we're going to keep it on you. Could you try to describe the best argument for why Frontex should be stronger?
Yeah, and I have to say that Martin is the expert on this. I don't have the 2016 and 2019 regulations ready in my mind, so I may have to guess a bit, and Martin needs to help me out in the. What Martin's central starting point, as I understand, is that as he calls it, Frontex is half-baked. It's neither a European agency with an exclusive, clear competence, nor is it something that merely supports member states. It's something in between. So Frontex has a shared mandate with member states. It works together, as Martin described. Like Frontex planes. Basically indicates to for example on the Aegean where migrant boats are, and so that the Greek Coast Guard can go there. And that leads to a very fuzzy and opaque situation where it's unclear who is responsible for what. So the Frontex is instrumental in telling the Greek Coast Guard where to go, and then, I mean, just to limit this to Greece as an example, and then the Greek do their thing, and their thing these days seems to imply, as it has done for years, this is not new, seems to imply pushbacks, which we agree on that, it seem to be ethical violations of international law and of European law. So Martin says this is half-baked, this is an unclear, fuzzy structure, an unclear distribution and attribution of competences. And this leads to a situation where Frontex is part of something that is illegal, but has no competence to do anything about it. And so he proposes to change that by, I assume, giving Frontex more and clearly defined competences that can override national competences.
Martin, do you agree with this description of your argument? Is there anything you'd like to add?
I agree, and thanks to Thomas for summarizing my point so well. Let me just make one additional point, which is that one of the consequences of what Thomas was just describing is that, let's say, the protection of rights of migrants and ensuring that Frontex also plays by the rules is fully in the hands of the organization itself. And the European Parliament has been discussing for decades now how Frontex should do this. And there is a plethora of monitoring mechanisms, and there are consultative fora, and there are human rights officers. But it's all bureaucracy. And how rights work in practice, if our courts where migrants can go to, if there are lawyers who tell to the migrants, you should bring your appeal against this particular border guards here. So what I want to do is I want to move away from this organization without much transparency, where respecting rights is totally in the hands of only that organization, which is only very partially democratically accountable, by the way, and to simply say that these European border guards are just like normal border guards. And whenever someone thinks that they do something wrong, they can go to a court to bring an appeal or to say that some rights have been violated. That is what Thomas has been saying. And obviously this is difficult because it means giving away sovereignty. It means giving away sovereignty of how your borders are controlled to some European border guard. And this, unfortunately, is the distrust that is baked in the European system of cooperation in the area of migration and asylum. I think we can only learn from how federal states are doing this. And I mean, in every sensible federal state, controlling the border is a federal responsibility for all good reasons.
Since Dr. Denhire began with the steel manning first, we're going to ask Thomas to describe and list his fundamental agreements with Martin first. Thomas, would you care to do that?
I think we agree on two points. One is that Frontex engages in particularly problematic activities together with member states. So it's not that Frontex by itself violates international law and European law, but it's cooperates with member states who clearly do so. And then instead of stopping that, they rely, as an organization, they rely on whistleblowers within their organization. And then when that happens, nothing much happens. So I think we agree on that there are unacceptable situations at the external borders in which Frontex plays a role and doesn't respond in a way that's even remotely satisfactory. And second, I think we agree that there's a very unclear distribution of attribution and distribution of competences between Frontex and the member states.
Martin, do you think all the agreements are listed? Is there any other more agreements that you think should be described?
No, I think this is perfect.
For the disagreements, let's begin with Martin. What do you think is the most obvious and large disagreement that stands out to begin with between you and Thomas?
I think we disagree about what strengthening Frontex means. I've been talking mostly about strengthening the competence of Frontex vis-a-vis the member states. Is bringing a more fundamental point. Frontex is part of the whole strategy of how to deter migrants, and it plays a very important and increasingly important part in that, and he questions that very strategy. So it is about, should we indeed militarize Frontex? Should we give them all those assets? Should we ask Frontex to cooperate with third countries so intensely? And is that not a recipe for disaster? And I think I can agree on a number of points with Frontex, but that depends. We were asked by you, should we strengthen Frontex or not? Let me also, in view of what Thomas had been saying, nuance my position a little bit. I think that Frontex should be strengthened vis-a-vis the member states, but I think we can have a serious debate about what we ultimately want Frontex or border controls to do and to achieve.
Thomas, would you mind commenting on that, if you have an opinion on that?
I think that's a fair summary. I think partly that I think it's a different way of saying the same is I want to emphasize. I was asked to defend a particular decision position, right? So please don't think I'm a bit more hesitant on this than I pretend to be now. But so I'm producing arguments. I think Martin and I also disagree, and that's a different way I think of saying the same, on the political way of raising moral issues at this moment. Because of the central policy of the EU, is it possible to guard your European borders in a fundamentally more in a saner? It's not just a matter of humanitarianism; it's also sanity. Does this make sense? Is it possible to do it in a saner and neater and more respectable? I mean, in the bourgeois term, in a more respectable manner than is happening now. But I think we not on the same plane as to the political wisdom of raising their debate now. They have to fix the urgent thing now, people being up and refiled. Is that the thing to focus on, or would this be a right moment to look at a more fundamental issue?
Martin and Thomas, I hope you guys can jump on this in general, because I understand it's a big question, which is just the actual fundamental issue of a border force in general and the militarization on that. Can you guys talk about that disagreement? Because I did see that coming up a little bit in the original steel manning, the extent that you need a militarized border. Martin, if you have a comment on that.
I think it's a fundamental part of any state to control the borders. I'm not an open border philosopher or protagonist. The question is, of course, what is allowed and what border controls achieve. I think I and Thomas agree that border controls can achieve only so much. And I do agree with Thomas that because nothing else seems to work, returns to third countries, making sure that asylum seekers stay in Italy and Greece and not migrating further onwards, all sorts of policies relating to migration and asylum are failing. So there is this sense of loss of control, and this has created over the year an increased emphasis on actual border control, which I agree with Thomas is not producing satisfactory results. And it leads to situations where migrants are forced dangerous routes. It leads to creating circumstances, nebulous circumstances, without much oversight in, on the high seas, in intricate constellations of cooperation, which is conducive to the violation of rights. Yet, I think I'm not following the narrative that this is all militarization. I also think that we should not paint the picture that border is actually militarized. Let me make one example: the Central Mediterranean, where there is a Frontex mission. It are only a few ships, and he critiqued that all the European navies are chasing the migrants there. No, the problem is that there are too many, too few, to make sure that proper search and rescue is conducted, and obviously we do see that a lot of fences have been created, sadly, but it's not true that all borders are fenced around Europe, and I do not think that it will ever happen.
Thomas, on this, would you like to comment?
The position of the Central Mediterranean has been outsourced to Libya. So it's there are few European boats there, but the Libyan Coast Guard pulls back people, and that has been set up by Italy with EU money. So I do think there are substantial forms of militarization going on at the borders, and so the question is it inherent in being a state, whether it's Greece or the Federation of Europe that Martin hints at, is it inherent in a state that you have this kind of borders? Had the Westphalian state system since 1648, one of the foundational moments of this system, we have modern immigration only since the 1890s. So the sovereign states did for two centuries the idea that they could control their population through controlling the characteristics of the people. So it's not a conceptual necessity that you have modern style immigration law, and also even modern style immigration law does not need this kind of brutality at its borders. We don't have these kind of things at the border between Belgium and the Netherlands, and we never had it except between 1914 and 1918, when there was this electric fence where people died. So this is not what borders need to look like, and you can have meaningful borders in many different ways, and we see in different parts of the world that you can have borders in many different ways. So it's I have problems in saying, well, it's our sovereign, and therefore to say it's either this or open borders. That's overstating it. That's obscuring the real problem. What kind of border do we want this to be?
Yeah, Thomas, one quick elaboration on what you just said. You said that there are other examples of meaningful borders. Can you describe what those look like and the actual difference they have with what the border for Europe generally is today?
The border between Belgium and the Netherlands is a very meaningful border because it distinguishes two political and constitutional systems, two economies with different. So and that's a border that we are used to not noticing, since when were border controls abolished in the Benelux? So that's a border that we only noticed since COVID. It's a very meaningful border, and I don't say this is the same as the border between Greece and Turkey, but borders are not, when there's a border, it's not given what it should be, and it's something to reflect about. The border between Turkey and Greece would not need to be so militarized if Europe. The current militarization, that particular border, is related to two phenomena. One is the proxy war in Syria, in which Europe and its allies play a role. And the second is that even if you take that for granted, you say, well, that's a bit too big for us as international migration and asylum law guys. If you take that proxy war as a given, then Europe has failed miserably to respond in a sensible manner to the fallouts of that war in Turkey, by basically leaving it up to Turkey and sending some money. But because that policy was done so terribly badly, the situation occurred in which Greece and the EU thought that the next best move was to militarize the border.
Martin, any last comments on this before we move to the last question?
Sure. I think we should also agree that borders play an important function in the enforcement of all sorts of rules we have democratically agreed on together. Right? This applies to the quality standards of goods coming in, to the common tariffs we have agreed on. It also applies to fugitives, preventing them from escaping, preventing persons who have been issued an entry ban from entering the Schengen area. So border controls are essential in a society which adopts and agrees on such kinds of rules. What we are talking about mostly today is not how to conduct border checks or how to check lorries entering the Schengen area, but how to guard the border between the border crossing points. And I think we can come to an agreement there that there is an overemphasis on what is happening there, and especially the ability to bar migrants, and also if you catch them and if you bring them into procedures to return them if they are undocumented or otherwise not entitled to stay.
Last question. We're going to start with Martin. What does a perfect Frontex look like to you if you were presenting an ideal type?
I'm a staunch European federalist, I should say. I'm happy that we see now all kinds of reports, partially because of Frontex, on what is happening at the Hungarian-Serb border, what is happening at the Greek-Turkish border. It may be that we had much less knowledge about what was happening there without Frontex. So I'm not the one scapegoating Frontex. I think much has been wrong. We have discussed it. And I think the best solution is to do away with all the national border guards and to make one truly accountable, also legally, European border guard.
Thomas, same question to you. What does a perfect Frontex look like?
A perfect Frontex would be a Frontex that implements a sane legal and policy framework. And as long as that sane legal and policy framework isn't there, and it doesn't look as if it's coming about, there can be no ideal Frontex.
Thank you guys for doing this. We really appreciate it.